Good morning. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. Today is the first Sunday of 2016, and we are glad that you have joined us for this program. It is a good way to begin the new year by studying God's Word. Even better, coming together to worship God. This being the first Sunday of the new year, why don't you come and spend time with us worshiping with the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ. We'd be glad to have you. We meet this morning at 10 to 11. There's still time to come worship with us. Or this evening, we meet from 5 to 6 p.m. And we would be glad to have you. We're starting a new Bible study on the book of Isaiah. We have some good things planned with the church for the new year. We would invite you to come worship with us. What a great way to begin the new year by being with Christians and worshiping God. And if we can assist you and help you in that, please contact us. This morning I would like for us to consider the uncertainties and certainties of a new year. The new year before us will have its uncertainties, those things that we do not know that will happen. The new year before us will also have its certainties, those things that are guaranteed, those things that we know will definitely be in place. So how do we face these things? I believe that we should face our uncertainties with proper attitudes. And I believe that we should face our certainties with proper actions. And so this morning, let's consider the uncertainties and certainties of a new year. Let's begin by talking about those things that are uncertain, those things that may or may not take place. For example, the new year may be a time of prosperity for us. We may make more money this year than we did in the past. We may own more things. We may increase our wealth in some way more in the new year to come. But prosperity, though it is good and beneficial, it also has its snares and dangers and temptations. I think about the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. He had barns and built bigger barns. He was prosperous, but his problem was he didn't take care of his soul. And one night his soul was required by God, and he was not prepared to meet his maker. So he had spent all of his time on his prosperity and material possessions, but he did not take time to take care of his soul. And maybe there are people like that listening today who you're taking care of your money and your physical things and your house and your car and your job and all of that. But are you taking care of your soul? Is your soul right with God? I think about Paul's statement in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10, how the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and many have been ensnared by that and have been drawn away from the faith. So prosperity is good, but it has its dangers and its potential problems. There are individuals in God's Word who were prosperous and also faithful to God. I think about Abraham in the Old Testament. He was very wealthy and yet one of the greatest believers who walked by faith in God. I think about Job in Job chapter 1 and 2, all of the things that he had. And even when those things were taken away from him, he still kept his faith with God. In the New Testament, I think about Joseph of Arimathea, who gave his own new tomb to Jesus to be buried in. You know, there are individuals who are wealthy and are also believers and faithful. But there are those like the rich young ruler who put their riches before the Lord. And so with what attitude will you approach your possible prosperity in the new year? The new year is also a time possibly of poverty. Things may be taken away from us. You know, things come to us that we're not aware of, that may be something of a physical nature. Sometimes people are hit with tornadoes and hurricanes. We've seen that recently in Middle Tennessee. And it takes away things from us. Our possessions are taken from us. A home can be leveled in just a matter of seconds when a tornado goes through. Or those who are in the path of a tsunami or a hurricane. Or an earthquake. A forest fire, often out on the West Coast. Even at this moment, there are forest fires that are burning out of control and people's homes and property are taken away. It could be maybe in the realm of our health. This year may be something where our health is taken away from us. We're diagnosed with cancer or some disease and we find that a portion of our health is taken away. How are we going to face that? Paul talks about how that he learned in any situation that he was in. In Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13, he knew how to be abounding and prosperous. He knew how to be abased when things were taken away. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. He had things taken away from him, physical things and even his health, but he remained faithful to the Lord. I think about James' statement in James chapter 2 and verse 5, where James talks about those who are poor as to the world, they are rich in faith. And so things may be taken away from us, but are we rich in faith? And then there are those who are wealthy physically and monetarily, but they are poor spiritually. The church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, they were wealthy physically and materially, but they were poor spiritually because they had sin in their lives. And so this year may be a time of prosperity. This year may be a time of poverty. How are we going to face these kinds of things? This new year before us may be a time of trials for us. Trials that can be very severe. The Apostle Paul and others faced trials and it brought them closer to God. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through the rest of the chapter there, next few verses down through verse 11, he talks about how that they went through many kinds of afflictions, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. And so it may be a time of trials, and we may not know where they're coming from. Like Job, he did not know that Satan was behind his trials there in Job 1, verses 7 through 22. And when his family is taken away and his physical property, and then later his health is taken away, he is stricken with boils from head to toe. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Even his wife is taken away from him. She encourages him to curse God and die. But he didn't know the source of that, and yet he remained faithful to God. Trials may be of a physical nature. We may be hurt in some way physically, as I mentioned earlier, with some disease or illness or cancer. The Apostle Paul talks about how that he had a thorn in the flesh, some physical problem that he had to go through. And he even prayed that it would be removed. But the Lord chose not to remove that, to teach him to put his strength in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. But how do we face these trials? Do they bring us closer to God or do they drive us away from God? You know, the trials that come our way are endurable. We can endure them. We can go through them. We can face them. Paul tells us that in his own life. And even James tells us that. If you turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we're told that we can endure trials and we can receive a crown of righteousness. James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And then come on down to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. So we can endure the manifold trials and temptations that come to us. And there's a great reward for doing that. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you who are persecuted, for great is your reward in heaven. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Others were persecuted for living righteous lives. We're going to be persecuted as well. So the persecution, the trials may be physical, may be spiritual in nature. But what will be our attitude? How will we approach these things? We must approach them with the attitude of having faith in God and bearing through these things, knowing that they make us a better person. You know, this new year may be a time of death. That's uncertain. We may live through 2016 or we may die this year. You know, death is an appointment that all mankind must keep. provided the Lord does not come again in our lifetime, we're all going to die. Everyone in God's Word died. The only two exceptions I know of are Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. We're told that he walked with God and God took him. And we know that Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind in 2 Kings chapter 2. But everybody died. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. And this year may be the time of death for you and me. Are we prepared for that? Are we ready for that great day? You know, we can die in the Lord or we can die outside of the Lord. We can die in the Lord and in a right relationship with Him. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, again in verse 16, those who fall asleep in Jesus. And John writes in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, blessed are those who die in the Lord. That is, they die in a right relationship with Him. They've been forgiven. Their sins have been washed away in baptism and they've lived a faithful life and they die in the Lord. How are you going to die, friend? Are you going to die in the Lord? Are you going to die the death of the righteous? Or are you going to die in a relationship that is not right with God? You know, we all die physically, but if we're not right with God, we're told that there is a second death. Hellfire is described as a second death. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. A second death. And that means a separation from God for all eternity. You know, Paul knew how to die. He said, if I die, I can go be with the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. That's how we want to die. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. And so he knew how to die. Do you know how to die, friend? You know how to die when you're living right, then you know how to die right. And we want to die in the Lord. If this year is the year of our death, we need to make preparation for that. But we don't know. We don't know. We could be struck in an auto accident and not realize that that was going to be our day. We could be struck with an illness and be given just a short amount of time to live. We don't know. The day of our death, God does. What attitude will you have in approaching your death? This year may be that year for you to die or for me to die. And so we need to be prepared for that. And if we're not, if I can help you, friend, to do that by sitting down and studying God's Word and learning what we need to do to be right, let me encourage you to do that. This year may be the year you die. You know, this year could be the year that the Lord comes again a second time. We don't know when He's coming. We're told in His Word, He tells us Himself that He will come as a thief in the night. Jesus talks about His second coming in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 36 and running all the way through chapter 25 and verse 13, that He will come as a thief in the night. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, that the time of the Lord's coming will be as a thief in the night. A thief does not announce when he is coming. So we don't know when the Lord is coming. What attitude will you have to approach the coming of the Lord? Are you ready for that? Are you prepared? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you done those things that you need to do? We are to hear God's Word. We're to hear the truth. We're to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're to confess that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. We are to repent of our sins. Acts 17, 30 and 31. God commands all men to repent. We're to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We're to live faithful lives thereafter. And so we have to do these things to be ready for the Lord's second coming. Are you ready? And then last of all, with regard to some uncertainties, you know, we don't know. We don't know if we're going to be prosperous. We don't know if it's going to be a year of poverty, a year of trials. It could be the time of our death. It could be the year that the Lord comes again. It could also be the year that we decide to make a commitment to Christ. Will you continue putting off obedience to Christ, or will you let this year be the year that you make that commitment? In times past, you've procrastinated. In times past, you've ignored it and put it off, and you keep pushing it off to the side. Will this be the year that you finally make a commitment to serve the Lord? It will help you. It'll help your family. It'll help your friends around you. This year may be the time when you make that commitment. You know, many people just simply will not or cannot decide to obey the Lord. They do not decide whether or not they'll become a Christian. Will you become a Christian this year? I think of Felix in Acts chapter 24 when Paul preached to him. Felix said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee." Many are just procrastinating like Felix. They put it off, and when I have a convenient season, then I'll do what is right. But, you know, the devil gets that convenient season just never to come around again, doesn't it? Doesn't he? And he knows how to get us to continue to procrastinate and put it off. I think also of Agrippa in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." He was almost persuaded, but not all the way. And so some people, like Felix and like Agrippa, they just can't decide whether or not they want to become a Christian. Some hear the truth, like you might be hearing the truth on the Bible program this morning, and you just simply ignore it and put it out of your mind and hope that it'll go away. You kind of like the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. He asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, and when Jesus told him, the text says that he just walked away sorrowful. He just didn't want to do anything about it. So, friend, will this be the year that you make a commitment to Christ? You know, those who have already become Christians, sometimes they cannot decide if this new year will be the year that they recommit their lives to Christ. Their love has grown cold, like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. You know, Christians can lose their love toward Christ. They're Christians in name only, but they're really not practicing that in their life. And they're not serious about following Christ. They're not completely committed and dedicated to Him. If you're a Christian, and even some who have claimed to be members of the Lord's church, but you don't worship anywhere, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray as you ought, you don't do the things that Christ wants you to do each day, will you recommit your life to Christ? Will you follow Him seriously this year? You pick a date sometime in the future. Pick a date in the month of May. Pick a date in August or October or December. Where will you be on that date? What will you be doing? Who will you be serving? You know, some who claim to be Christians have already started out the new year being absent from the local church assembly. You know, there are those who could come and worship the Lord today, the first Sunday of the new year, but they've chosen not to. Some who claim to be Christians have chosen not to. They're at home watching TV. They're doing something around the house. Some people go to the golf course. Some people go to the lake. They've got their hobbies that they want to attend to or chores that they want to get caught up on. Some just want to sleep in or read the newspaper or get online or watch TV or something along those lines, and they're missing out on the very first Sunday of the year. They're missing out of coming together like New Testament Christians did on the first day of the week, Acts 20, verse 7, the first day of the week, Sunday, to worship the Lord. They're missing out already. What a bad habit to start out that new year. So friends, I would encourage you to let this new year be the year that you really commit to Christ. Not just talking about it, but actually, not just talking, but walking that walk and proving that in your life. What attitude will you have to approach your commitment to Christ? With the time remaining, I would like for us now to talk about some certainties. We've been talking about some things that are uncertain. We don't know whether or not we'll have prosperity or poverty or trials or death, or the second coming of Christ, or whether or not we will commit to Christ, but there are some certainties that we have. There are some certainties that we can count on. Number one, the Lord will give us opportunity. In fact, the fact that you're hearing this program right now is already an opportunity. We're some 3 days into the new year. We've already had 3 days of opportunity to do what is right. One thing you can be guaranteed of this year is opportunity to do what is right. God always gives us that opportunity. You know, in the New Testament, you don't have the word opportunity so much as you have the phrase open doors. Open doors, that's the New Testament way of talking about opportunity. For example, in Colossians chapter 4, if you'll turn with me there, in verse 3, Paul says, praying for us also that God may open unto us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. We have an open door. We find the same thing in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. God had opened doors so that the Gentiles could be saved. And so open doors of opportunity. We are going to have opportunity, but how will you use the opportunities that are given to you? Opportunities to save souls. Opportunities to test our character. Opportunities to see if we're going to be obedient, as we've already talked about. Obey the gospel and become a Christian, or really be a committed Christian. What opportunities will God give us? There will be many throughout the year, but how will you react to them? Will you take hold of those and use them the way God wants you to? You have to have that action of taking hold of the opportunities that are presented to you. But the new year will also be a time of duties and responsibilities and obligations. They are laid upon us each and every day. You know, the Lord gives us our ability and opportunity and responsibility. We know that, for example, in the parable of the man with the talents. And God gives each and every one of us different talents. The one talent man, the two talent man, the five talent man. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. The two talent man doubled his. The five talent man doubled his. But the one talent man was unfaithful. And in Matthew 25 and verse 24, he said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gather where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away, and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast thine own. But the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine with interest. Take away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he has shall be taken away. And cast out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. These talents are like responsibilities, and God gives those things to us as a husband or a wife, a father or mother, son or daughter. We have responsibilities. We have responsibilities in our home, in our community, at work. We have responsibilities as Christians in the local church. We have responsibilities to God, both privately and publicly, to come worship Him. We have responsibilities to our fellow man, our family and friends, even strangers, people in the community, even our enemies. Jesus said to pray for our enemies and love our enemies. We have responsibilities to the community and even the local church of which we are a part. We have responsibilities to government to pray for our leaders and even civil obedience, Romans chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2, to be obedient to those who are in authority. What actions will you take with these responsibilities and duties and when these obligations are presented? There will be opportunities. There will be responsibilities. You can count on that. And you know what? This new year will also be a time where we can count on God and Christ and God's Word. These things are certain. You know, God's character is unchanging. God is not a man. Numbers chapter 23:19. God is not a man. And we just need to remember that. You know, men change. They cause problems. They say one thing and do another. Sometimes you cannot really count on men. But God is not like that. We come to the very end of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I, Jehovah, change not. And so God is not going to change. His character stays the same. His righteous character stays the same. And we can count on Him being who He always has been in this new year to come. Christ's character does not change. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18, the Hebrew writer talking about Jesus says that He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He does not change in His character. We can count on God to be who He is and who He says He is. We can count on Christ to do the same. And you know, we can count on God's Word. God's Word is not going to change in 2016. It didn't change last year. It didn't change the year before that. God's Word stays the same. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 23, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory thereof is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings, which was preached unto you. So friends, God is not going anywhere. And who He is will be the same. And Christ, who He is, will be the same. And we can count on them. You know, we can't count on man. So many times they are unpredictable. They lie. They change their word. They go back on their word. But not God, not Christ, not the Holy Spirit, and His word revealed in Scripture. These do not change. And so what a blessed hope we have in that, and confidence and trust that we have in that very kind of thing. So, friends, this year will be a time of uncertainties, things that we don't know about. And we need to have the proper attitude so that we can be prepared for them if they come this year. But you know, there are certainties that will take place this year. And we have to have the right actions in carrying them out, carrying out our opportunities, our responsibilities, and our relationship with God and Jesus Christ. If we can help you in these things, we would encourage you to come. If you can come worship with us, contact us. We can help you come, make it to the service. Or if you'd like to set up a Bible study in your own home, I would be glad to come, and we can just sit down with a Bible between us and talk about these important kinds of things. Friend, you need to have your life right with God in this new year to come so that you can be ready. If you were to pass from this life, or if the Lord were to come again, you would be ready. And if I can help you, I would enjoy studying God's Word with you. Just feel free to contact us. And we have services each week. We have Bible classes for all ages. The new year is a good time to get your children studying God's Word. We have Bible classes for all ages. Our sermons, our classes are all Bible-based. And it's a great way to get the new year started right, in a right relationship with God, studying God's Word. Please contact us if we can assist you in doing that. And have a good day, and we look forward to studying with you again next Sunday. And please tune in to the Let the Bible Speak program at that time.